into James chapter 4 for the remaining of our time. We're almost done with James. We're going to look at two verses today, verses 11 and 12. And before I read, I'm going to take a drink. You don't have to stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Just two verses. Let me read them, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump in. Verse 11, James chapter 4, says the following: "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." Let me read that again. "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to meet. God, we thank you for this specific text that we're studying here. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through it. God, that we all would feel this command not to speak evil against our brothers and sisters. God, we ask that you would use this passage to correct us and encourage us to speak kind words, to speak words that are encouraging, to build up our brothers and sisters instead of tear them down. And so, Lord, we ask for your help. We ask that you would soften our hearts, that we would receive all that you have for us, and you bless us in the time that we have in this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Walter Wangerin, you guys probably don't really know who he is. He's an American author. He's written a number of short stories, a lot of them being Christian short stories and parables. He's got a collection of stories in this book called Ragman and the Other Cries of Faith. And the only reason I'm sharing this with you is because at the beginning of one of his short stories, he kind of goes into some detail about female spiders and what female spiders do to anything around them. And what they do is they basically kill them. You know, they suck the life out of whether it's another male spider or it's any other insect. They just suck the life out of it. They put these acidic enzymes into them that kind of turn their insides, this is great right before lunch, turn their insides into sort of this soupy material, and they suck it out of them, and they're just left with this shell. And so that's what he describes. And then he goes on and he says this, and this is what I want to get to because it kind of gets to what we're going to be talking about today. And so he makes the following point talking about these female spiders and what they do. He says this, he says, "The soup she swills, even as most of us swill souls of one another after having cooked them in various enzymes, guilt, humiliation, subjectives, cruel love, there are a number of fine acidic mixes. And some among us are so skilled with the hyperdemic word that our dear ones continue to sit up and to smile quite as though they were still alive." And so I know it's kind of wordy. That's kind of how he writes and stuff like that. But what he's just basically trying to get at is we're a lot like these female spiders sometimes, where we can sort of use our words in such a way that we pierce the souls of those around us, whether he uses words like guilt or cruel love or humiliation, or we might say words like rash words, or you might throw in there gossip and slander, and the effect of it has a negative effect upon those around us. And I like the way in which he described it, where we're so skilled. He says, "Some among us are so skilled that our dear ones continue to sit up and to smile quite as though they were still alive." Isn't that the truth? Just think about that for a moment. Our words can have that effect on the people around us. Where we could say things, and I'm going to get at this in a little bit more detail, but we can say them in such a way where we just run people over time after time again, and they sit there and they smile, but they're like They're like the prey of that female snider, or a spider. They've just been eaten alive from the inside. It's a gruesome way to describe it, the power of evil speech, but its reality is true. Evil speech is powerful. It has the ability to suck the life out of people. Evil speech hurts people. Slander destroys reputations. Gossip destroys community and relationships and local churches. Lies destroy trust. Harsh words break down and destroy confidence and faith. Evil speech is evil and destructive. We all know this, but as James has already taught us in chapter 3, and James is on to something here. If we haven't caught on already, it feels like we just spoke about this, we just talked about this, because James is continuing to address the way in which we relate with one another. The way in which we speak to one another. In chapter 3, he just informed us how impossible it is for us in and of ourselves to just tame our tongues. He says, not many of us should be teachers because we all stumble in many ways. Just think about the words that you have spoken over this past week. Did you stumble in any way? Did you say something you shouldn't have said? What did you say? What were the effects of those words? And James is trying to help us understand. You can't tame your own tongue. Instead, he taught us that we need Christ to actually save us and conquer our hearts, that he might change us from the inside out so that our hearts would be changed and therefore the way in which we speak to one another would be different. Would be a lot different. And so what we're going to learn this morning in our text is this truth. Since God is the lawgiver and judge, we must not speak evil against one another. And so it's a little different than me just saying, hey, don't speak evil against one another. There's a reason we don't speak evil against one another. And we could say, well, it destroys and it hurts people and it's just bad. But James takes us a little bit deeper in helping us understand the effect of evil speech. And why it's so bad. And so what we're going to learn is this. It's so bad because God is the only lawgiver and judge. And because he's the lawgiver and because he's the judge, we need to be very careful with what we say. Or we need to watch what we say. Or as James tells us, do not speak evil against one another. And I'm going to say that a lot because the temptation for us is to speak evil. It's true. It just happens. Even the best of us let things come out of our mouths sometimes that shouldn't come out of our mouths. And so we need to be reminded of this. And sometimes we're surprised by what other people might say sometimes, or that what other people just think is okay. But what we're going to see, James takes this seriously. And the reason James does is because our holy God takes it seriously. And he's our lawgiver and he's our judge. Therefore, may we not speak evil against one another. And so we're going to look at 2 points this morning. The first one is this, and these come straight from our text. Number one is this: when we speak evil against one another, we exalt ourselves above God's law. When we speak evil against one another, we exalt ourselves above God's law. So there were obviously conflicts taking place in the church that James was originally addressing. Worldly and selfish desires were giving way to fights and quarrels. And these conflicts weren't much different than the conflicts that we experience ourselves today. We fight with one another because, as James taught us earlier in chapter 4, we fight because we don't get what we want. We have these passions and desires inside of us. And so when those passions and desires aren't met, we typically fight to get those things. And this fighting can look like a lot of things, but most of the time it looks like evil speech. It looks like yelling at someone to make them stop doing something or to make our own point. It looks like slandering someone so that they would look bad and that we might look right, or that we might gain supporters to be on our side. And so we slander somebody to win friends to help us continue to fight and win the argument. It looks like gossiping to hurt people. It looks like a rash word. Y'all know what a rash word is? The Bible describes it like a sword thrust. It's one of those quick little daggers that you just kind of throw at somebody, and you intentionally do it because you know if you say it, they're gonna get what you're talking about right away, and it's gonna hurt them. Just like a little sword thrust. And so they just hurt. It's evil. It looks a lot like an out-of-control car running over and down anyone that gets in their way. That's what fights look like when we start just spewing whatever it is we want to spew just to kind of get what we want so we can make a point and win an argument. But James has a lot to say about this. And the one thing he says, it comes to us in a command in verse 11. He just says, no, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. So he's talking to the church here. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, men and women whom Christ died for, who are living life together. And he throws out this command, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. So a different way of saying this, and I think I said this earlier when we were talking about the tongue, is what James is doing is saying, don't do this. But the opposite is that build a culture of encouragement. Don't tear your brothers and sisters down, but instead build them up. But here it's just coming to us in just this do not command. Do not ever speak evil against your brothers and sisters. Don't give in to that type of speech. See, evil speech is something that used to characterize who we were prior to Christ saving us. It's part of that old man. Paul talks about being the old man or the old self, and we're called to put that off. And evil speech characterizes that of who we used to be. Let me read for you. So Colossians chapter 3, Paul's writing. He says this, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so he's just saying, no, you've died and you've been united together through faith with Christ. You've been changed. Therefore, seek the things that are above. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Now listen to this list. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. So they're going to be punished because of these things. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. Past tense, when you were living in them. But now, because you've been united together through faith with Christ, he goes on, he says, but now you must put them all away. Get rid of all of these things. And Paul goes on and he lists some things. He says this, put these away. Anger, put it away. Wrath, get rid of it. Malice, get rid of it. And now listen to these. Slander, it used to describe who you were. Now you're called to put it away. Obscene talk from your mouth, put it away. Do not lie to one another. Put away the lies. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And so James and Paul, what they're doing is they're standing together on this, commanding us to not speak evil against one another. To not slander one another. To not gossip about one another. To not take a rash word and throw it at one another. They're standing together calling for us because we've been united together through faith in Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed to put off these things that used to describe and identify who we once were. But that's not who we are in Christ. We've been redeemed. So evil speech has no place in the church. Evil speech has no place in a believer's life. Evil speech does not glorify God, nor does it ever do anything productive and good in anyone's life. Evil speech always breaks down and destroys relationships, always. Sometimes I can trick myself into thinking, no, if I just yell loud enough, I'm going to get my point across and I have to do this because then my kids will understand that I really mean business. Anybody else ever think like that? Okay, well, James has something to say to them about that. Put away all evil speech. There's a different way to communicate that, and I'm trying to learn, and maybe we could have a little group, we can figure that one out. But anyways, the point is, we're called to put it away. Evil speech, it's worldly, it's earthly. And if you don't believe me, just turn on the news. And you probably have, and most of you have probably turned it off by now because you're so sick and tired of it, but all you're going to really find is a lot of evil speech. A lot of lies, a lot of gossip, a lot of slander, a lot of harsh words. And there's a reason for it. You know what the reason is? Because it sells. It appeals to our earthly nature or our sinful nature. And so a world loves this type of stuff. But what is the effect of evil speech? It doesn't unite us. It doesn't. It doesn't bring a nation together. And so in the church, evil speech is not going to build us up. It's not going to strengthen our relationship with one another. And so James calls for us to not speak an evil word against one another. But for some reason, people think that it's okay to speak this way. And if we're honest with ourselves, we tend to speak this way too. So let me ask you to just think about your speech. What do your words say about your heart? If you were to just take this verse 11a, the first part of it, do not speak evil against one another, brothers, where do you line up? Or where do you need to repent? Where do you need to ask for forgiveness for being harsh or being angry and yelling or throwing a rash word at somebody or gossiping and slandering? See, I heard an illustration a few years ago that's really kind of just helped me think through gossip and slander, and I've probably shared this at various times with us as a church, but I just find it really helpful. And so when you think about gossip and slander and how evil it is and the effects that it has upon everybody around you, it's like if you started gossiping, let's say I was going to gossip about Jason. I'm not going to do this, but for the sake of an illustration, let's just say I'm going to talk about Jason. He's not around. And so what it's like having this feathered pillow. And inside this pillow is all these feathers, but those feathers really represent Jason. They represent everything that he is, everything that you think he is. And then I start to talk about Jason. I start telling all these bad things about him. And what I do is I'm ripping open that feathered pillow on a windy day and just kind of shaking it in the wind. And what's going to happen to those feathers? I'm going to lose a lot of them. They're going to be spread all over the place. The wind's going to take it. And then what's going to happen, and that's what gossip does. It takes his reputation, it takes his character, what you think about him, and it just spreads it all over the place. And the destructive power is when it's not true, and when it's hurtful, and when it's negative, somehow you got to go back and pick all those feathers up and put them back in the pillow. Does that make sense? And you're just not going to be able to do that, are you? So that's how destructive evil speech is. It ruins people's reputation. It just does. And the way our world deals with this is when they gossip and slander, and then when they kind of admit that they're wrong, what they end up doing is they sort of make a correction, but they put it on the back page. You know what I'm talking about? So the lie is on the front page or is on the front page of their site, and then when they go and make it right, they put it on the back page, and it's not making it right. The damage has already been done. So when you start to hear someone speak about someone else in a negative way, you need to stop them. Because we're called not to speak evil against one another. When you hear something negative about someone else, you need to not pass this information on. Now, this doesn't mean you can't go to the source. I think there's a right way to do it in fact-checking, especially when you're trying to find out certain information. But we don't pass this information on ever. If you're the person spreading the gossip and slander, you just kind of need to stop it. And you need to own it. You need to confess it. And you need to repent of it. Now, I kind of like to challenge us here. Because to me, this is one of the most slippery things I've ever encountered in pastoral ministry. And I would say just in life, not even in pastoral ministry. But it's that owning evil speech. Especially when it comes to gossip and slander. Because it's destructive, it destroys, it never builds up. And we're going to see here in a minute that it goes against God's law. But one of the important things for us is when we fall or when we sin in categories like this, and I would say any sin, it's important that we own it. When we understand that we have participated in evil speech, and by owning it, I mean just confessing it and then asking for forgiveness. You're not going to put all the feathers back in the pillow, but it honors the Lord when we actually confess and repent. So after James gives his readers this command to not speak evil against one another, he gives them this reason. Verse 11, he says, "The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." And so he's teaching us not to speak evil against a brother. And what he does here is he doesn't say it's really destructive upon the brother. He says, no, he brings God into view. And he helps us to see that when we speak evil, we're ignoring the law that God has given to us. We're exalting ourselves above the things that God has called for us to do. And so he's helping us see our speech, not from just our perspective, but from God's perspective. And the law that James speaks of here is the royal law that he spoke of in 2:8. This is important. I know it gets a little technical here, but follow along with me. It's the law that belongs to the King of Kings, to Jesus. It's not our law. So we don't live by our laws. We live under the law of the one who has made us and the one who sent his son to die for us and the one who is reigning and ruling over all things. And James refers to this as the royal law. And in Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 40, Jesus was being cross-examined by a Pharisee as to which was the greatest commandment. And he replied by saying this. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." And so when we fail to love one another as we love ourselves, we transgress God's law and exalt ourselves above it. So you understand what he's getting at here. You exalt yourself when you speak evil and you rip into somebody and you run somebody down and you don't confess and you don't repent. You are exalting yourselves above the law of the Lord. And that law is to love him and to love others. Simplified by Christ. We're choosing to do things our own way. This is just called arrogance. It's just called pride. And James is helping us to see that. When you run somebody down, slander somebody, gossip somebody, you are exalting yourselves above this royal law. Anytime we choose to speak evil against or sinfully judge one another, we're elevating our opinions and our judgment upon God's written rules. And see, we must examine every word we speak. Or we must pay close attention to what we say. Because it matters to the one who created us. The one who sent his son to redeem us and fill us with his spirit and empower us to be his people and to honor and glorify him. See, all evil speech is sinful. And all evil speech is ultimately saying, I think I know more than God knows. and what I know is better than what God has communicated already. And that's what James is getting at here. He's just saying, when you do this, you're exalting yourself above the law, what God has called you to do. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, had this to say around this. He said, the argument here is meant to deliver us from mind games, which tell us it's okay to be judgmental because we're so spiritually sensitive and insightful, or because we have the kingdom's good as the motivation behind our judgment. God says this is stupid arrogance of cosmic dimensions. It's just arrogance. Basically, what we all need to hear this morning from this text is that evil speech is just evil. It's just evil. And there's no place for it, James is telling us, in the church. And we also see in our next point, or we learn this, that when we speak evil against one another, we exalt ourselves, not just above the law of God, but above God himself. James writes this in verse 12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? See, God is the giver of the law. He's the giver of the law. We need to be reminded of this, and we need to understand this. He's the creator of all things. And when you create something, you kind of have the right to define everything else. So he's our almighty God who's created all things, and he is our lawgiver. He knows what is best for us. But when we give in to evil speech, James already taught us, we exalt ourselves above that. And throughout the Bible, God is described as the only one who is able to save and destroy. This is important. See, this is what I love, and this is kind of why I want to get into the Bible doctrine for the men as we study the doctrine of God, is knowing who God is matters. Because it affects the way in which we live our life all the time. See, if he's a holy God, then there'll be, or if you know him as a holy God, there's going to be a fear of God. If you know him as a loving God, there's going to be this great desire to draw near to him. If you know him as a forgiving God, you're going to draw near to him and you're going to confess your sin to him. But what he wants us to know here is that he's the God who saves and destroys. And we got to know this God. We got to know our God as the one who saves and destroys. In Deuteronomy 32, 39, it says this, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Jesus warns us in Matthew 10, 28, not to fear men who can only kill the body and not the soul. And he goes on and he says this, rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. See, our God is the one who saves and he's the one who destroys. And we're going to have to stand before our Maker one day and give account for every single word that's come out of our mouths. Think about that. Scary. I've been thinking about it lately as I just think about different things going on in our church, and I've had private conversations with different guys on the leadership team, and I just tell them, this is one of the scariest things I think about, just having to make a judgment or a decision about certain things that affect our entire church, and then having to stand in front of Jesus and give account for that. That's why there's lots of things I don't like to make a decision on without my leadership team and Phil and Garrett, because I want to stand there with those guys when we're trying to explain why we did what we did. There's just a fear of the Lord, and that fear needs to be there. That's what James is trying to help us. Evil speech is not okay. It's not okay. So when you speak that way, you exalt yourself above the law, but also the one who created all things, our God. It's like the height of arrogance. So James is trying to help us understand, you're not the lawgiver and you're not the judge. There's one lawgiver and there's one judge, and that is our holy God. And he alone has this right to judge. And we don't share this right with him. Now, God's called us to be discerning, to think through right and wrong. But he asks us this great question at the end. He says, but who are you to judge your neighbor? He's referring to evil speech and evil judgment. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to think arrogantly about your brother or sister? Who are you to slander your brother or sister? Who are you to pass on gossip about your brother or sister? It's just getting to the point that you're not the lawgiver. You're not the one who created all things. Although you feel like you are, but you're not. You're not the one who can save your brother or sister. Only Christ can do that. Only our God can do that. Who are you to judge? And so let's just get a little more specific. It might be like this. Who are you to speak angry words at your kids? This is where it hits a little home for me, you know? Who are you to yell at your spouse? Who are you to slander your boss? Who are you to slander the leadership team? Who are you to gossip about your community group leader because you don't like the way he led last Wednesday? Who are you? Are you the lawgiver and judge? It might not have been done the way you want it to be done, but guess what? That's just life. A lot of things in life don't go the way we want it to be done, but the way in which we speak about those things matters. That's what James is trying to get at here. If we give in to evil speech, it destroys the church. If we give in to evil speech and we never own it and we never confess it and we never repent of it, it just kind of sits out there, and what does it do? Those feathers just kind of float around. And they hurt reputations. And they come back up again when the next wind blows, and it kind of looks like this. See, I told you, this is the way it was before, and this is the way it is now. I think Garrett said it a while back. You said it somewhere. I don't know. We don't cancel people, we forgive people. So it just kind of shows up. It shows up like that kind of stuff, where it just floats around. And so we must not let evil speech be a part of our church. Because we're not the lawgiver and we're not the judge. Only our great God is. So I want you to think about it the next time you find yourself sitting around with your friends and you start to talk about someone who's not present. I want you to watch your words. And it's not just because I want you to, it's because James calls for us to do this. And just try it. Just think about this. Next time you have somebody over, be very intentional and try not to spend any time talking about anyone who is not present in the room with you. Just see how that goes. Just I challenge you in that. Or if you are going to talk about in a way where you just build them up and you just encourage them. Because that's how we build and that's how we glorify the Lord. Remember, next time you get together and you start talking, remember that God alone is the judge of the living and the dead. Remember that God alone has the power to save and the power to destroy. Remember that he has saved you and he has redeemed you to be his people, to love him and to love one another. Remember that you live in his kingdom and it's not the other way around. And remember that he has commanded you to not speak evil against one another. Now to do this, as James has already taught us, we need God's grace, don't we? We need God's grace. We need Christ to conquer our hearts. To conquer our hearts. And so I just want to close. I'm going to pray for us as a church that the Lord would fill us with his spirit and that Christ would conquer our hearts, that our tongues might be tamed, that we might speak words that build up instead of evil speech that destroys. So please pray with me in closing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, in just two short verses, Lord, we find a command not to speak evil against one another. And Lord, we do not want to speak evil against one another. And so we ask that you'd fill us with your spirit, that we would walk in humility before you and one another. God, that we would not exalt ourselves above your law, and we would not seek to arrogantly exalt ourselves above you. But Lord, we'd walk in submission to your will and your ways. And Lord, we recognize this is difficult. It's difficult. Lord, we live in a culture that loves this stuff. But Lord, may we be different. May your power be at work in us and may we be different. May, May it start in our homes. Lord, with just these little cultures of encouragement and gratitude, and may it overflow into the life of this church. May we build one another up. May we overwhelm one another, not with discouragement, but with encouragement in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Christ, rule our hearts, we ask, and bless us today as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. As you leave, may the Lord pour out his Spirit upon you. May you experience his peace in abundance. God bless.